where this came from either. So I've quoted a lot of stuff that I don't know where it came from, but like, you know, like the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's one of those types of things, like ignorance is bliss. When I didn't know that I should be making more, I was fine with it. But as soon as I found out, I was like, ah, I'm underpaid, I need more money, and it became a problem. But like a week ago, I was fine. I was like spending money on random stuff. Like it was good. But as soon as I found out it wasn't. Welcome back to another episode of the IC Pixels podcast. This is David.
And this is Anthony.
Thanks again for tuning in again. I'm going to say again a lot this episode.
Why?
I don't know. Okay. I was listening to that John Legend song, Doing It Again or something. I don't know the name of the song. Maybe it's actually called Again.
I don't know.
Doing It Again. It's like the Roots made a song where they sampled that too.
Or is it?
Huh?
Is that what he's saying? Doing It Again?
Something like that. I don't know. I may be incorrect on all of this.
Yeah, I think so.
So anyway, we're back. This is our second episode of the new year. We're actually, like we said, we're trying to be on schedule and come out with episodes every 2 weeks like we said we would. So
The streets are waiting.
Because yeah, the streets are hungry for it. Twitter's blowing up. My Instagram DMs was all full of people like, "When's the new episode? When's the new episode?" Except none of that is actually true.
Yeah,
I haven't been on Twitter in a long time. So if you all were actually tweeting that, I'm sorry, I did not know. But yeah, well, that's how it is.
We're doing it for ourselves.
Yeah,
we're doing self love and putting things out on time.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff sounds good. So, what are we talking about this week?
Well, what's interesting is this. If I think about it, this time last year, where I'm at this year compared to this time last year, I mean, on Tuesday I'll be turning 35, and around this time last year I was out there scrambling trying to find a job. Well, no, I think I had gotten one by now. A piece of a job. It was like a freelance gig that paid me no money. Mm-hmm. And it was demanding but paid no money, but it was it was what I needed at the time. But I'm just thinking about it, just, you know, taking a moment to just be thankful for where I'm at compared to where I was last year around this time. So in that case I was, you know, just trying to get anything, just trying to get something because of a contract running out. I needed to get some kind of job situation going on, some kind of consistent money. And that was last year. Around the same time this year, I'm interviewing people.
Yeah. It's funny how the tables have turned.
Yeah.
You're out here living living your best life, or whatever the saying is.
Semi-best life.
Yeah, I was going to... I guess things have changed for me since last year, too. Last year this time I was working in the city, commuting at least a couple hours every day. I was kind of enjoying what I was doing, but not really. I was getting paid significantly less than I am now, and so yeah, things are different. Because one thing I'll say is, like, a lot of times you look back at where you were a year before, or, you know, 6 months ago or whatever, and you may say, "Well, wow, things are so much better." But then when you look back maybe a year later or 2 years later, you're like, things weren't really better. They were just different. You're like, you know, I trained my problems for different problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's easy to look back on things fondly because, you know, you tend to, well, I don't know. You either remember the bad things or you remember all the good things. Mm. And it's easy to, you know, what's it about, like, rose-colored glasses or whatever. But, you know, it's easy to look back on things like that. You know, that's why you get all these people's like, that's why people are out here trying to make, you know, America something again. Because, you know, they look at history and, you know, rose-colored glasses basically only from their point of view. So it's... You know, you have to be aware of that. I mean, you know it happens, but just be aware and don't let that rule your everything. Kind of be honest with yourself. It's like, well, things were going bad also, you know.
Well, so I was listening. I don't remember heard this, but there's two of you. There's your remembering self and there's your experiencing self. So let's say you were on a roller coaster and it was awesome, you're having so much fun, and then at the very end of the ride it broke down and like you were sitting on the ride for 30 minutes before they fixed it and were able to get you off. So your experiencing self really enjoyed that. You enjoyed the ride, everything was great until that one thing at the end. But then when you tell people about it, your remembering self is probably going to focus on what happened at the end. So there's a podcast I listened to that was talking about this. Basically, it's like you could have a wonderful experience or even a mediocre experience, but if it ended negatively, you're going to remember it more negatively than a positive experience that ended positive, or a negative experience that ended positively, or the inverse, or whatever. So it's like however things end are kind of what you remember more than the rest of it. So
yeah,
interesting stuff, because like you were saying, looking back a year ago, I didn't not enjoy my job. I was okay with it. I was okay with my commute. Everything was fine. I was able to pay my bills and everything. But judging by now, like now I don't, my commute is much shorter and I'm doing something more interesting. And so looking back, I'm like, that job was terrible. But in reality, it really wasn't as I was experiencing it. It's just now I have a different perspective because of the events that have happened since then.
Yeah, I mean, that's like how I just moved, and I keep on thinking, because I haven't even been here that long, but it's just like I'm loving where I am now, and I just keep thinking, it's like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to go back to the other place, and it's like, because I like where I am now, it just makes the other place seem worse and worse, even though it wasn't that bad, and we loved it when we first moved in. It was exactly what we needed at the time, and it worked out perfectly.
Right.
But
yeah, I remember
looking back at it now, it's just you look at it negatively because we're ready to get, I don't know.
Because you have a new perspective. Because when I first moved up here and I got my first job and I was making like $40,000 a year, I thought I was rich and I was happy and I was spending money randomly on stuff I didn't need. But
I feel attacked.
I'm not attacking. But then, you know, looking back, I was like, wow, I was severely underpaid for what I was doing, the my skill set and everything. I was severely underpaid. And then also, like, once I lived here for a while, I realized, wow, I'm not making what I should make. You know, you see how much things cost. Like, I don't want to stay in an apartment when I don't want to drive this 93 Nissan all my life. So this $40,000 is just not going to cut it. So I need to start looking for something else. So it was like, you're satisfied until you realize that you shouldn't be satisfied. It's one of those things, like, about, because someone, I don't know where this came from either, so I've quoted a lot of stuff that I don't know where it came from, but like, you know, like, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's one of those types of things, like, ignorance is bliss. When I didn't know that I should be making more, I was fine with it, but as soon as I found out, I was like, I'm underpaid, I need more money, and it became a problem. But like a week ago, I was fine. I was like spending money on random stuff. But as soon as I found out it wasn't.
When you ain't got nothing, I mean, anything is better than nothing.
It was definitely better than going back and living at our parents' house. So I wasn't complaining.
Having money isn't everything, but not having it is.
Yeah.
That was our Kanye reference for the week.
Got that out of the way early, like 8 minutes in.
That was from the book of I forgot what album that was on. I think it was the first one, track 6,
real specific.
No, yeah, I don't remember, but I don't even remember what song that was from. That was anyway. I forgot what you were talking about because I had to make that comment.
I was trying to find out what our topic is for this week.
Oh, right. And we were talking about, you know, making more money and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Our topic is, I was talking about how I was interviewing people. And I wanted to talk about how, I mean, what's interesting to me, I don't know if you've interviewed anybody before.
Yeah, I've interviewed a few people. Well, quite a few people for work.
Okay. What's interesting is interviewing, I mean, there's two things where there's the fact that, like, now suddenly you're in a position, for me, it's like suddenly you're in a position where you're on the other side of the table interviewing somebody. And you're looking at them the same way people probably looked at you, and you have suddenly, you have this clarity and like, oh, well, I don't know if they'll, you start saying things like, oh, I don't know if it'll fit in with the culture of this company. Things I used to hate. And people are like, yeah, we're really looking for somebody to fit in with the culture. And you take that personally. It's like, oh, because I'm black, you know. But now I'm in a position and I'm saying the same thing. And it's like, you know, I'm getting emails 2 days later from somebody that we interviewed like a week or two ago. And it's like, we know we don't want. And it's like awkward, you know.
And are you only doing like this to black people?
Strictly to white people.
Okay.
White CIS, CIS, whatever, what is it? CNBC males. I don't know. Well, that was one part of it. You know, you're suddenly in this position where you were making these judgments on little minor things, like, oh, this person talks too much. I don't know if I could deal with that. Or, and also there's the other aspect of the things you look for when you're interviewing somebody for a creative position. As a creative yourself, like what, you know, what makes you think like, oh, this is the right person for this job. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the first part, what I would say what's interesting to me is just my role so far in interviewing people, because I'm not the only person doing it, but I've been mostly focused on their personality because it's somebody I would work closely with. And it's been interesting to, one of the questions I found was, and it's has been stumping people, and I googled it myself, is asking people what is a common misconception people have about them. Mm-hmm. And that's usually one that makes people think, because it's not one of the canned interview questions that people ask, you know, like, where do you see yourself in 3 weeks, you know.
3 weeks. I've never been asked that one.
Captain of industry. No, because I mean, especially when you're trying to find out who a person is, like, what kind of questions do you ask people?
I don't know. I generally ask like, so the generic questions like strengths, weaknesses. I've asked people about their hobbies, like what are some of your hobbies? Do you play a musical instrument? I got asked that on one interview, and I started asking people that.
What is, why?
It's just like to kind of get to know them and understand. No real good reason.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of gauge it by how they respond to the regular boring interview questions too. Because like, if I want to know if like you're easygoing and, you know, humorous, or, you know, like if you have a kind of an outlook like me, then I'll ask you the serious interview questions. And if you're just answering straight up like, no, well, I attended this university, blah, 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 if you're answering like that, then I know you're not like me, because most interviews I go to, I end up laughing and joking with the person, because that's my personality. I laugh and joke, I'm sarcastic, and I try and find humor in things. So one thing I've also done is I'll ask people like extremely simple questions that they should just seriously know. Like, so I was interviewing a developer a few weeks ago. So they should obviously know how to write HTML and stuff like that. So I was asking them some very, 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 very basic questions, like just as a joke. And if they didn't get it, I'm like, wow, you're way too serious. And they're like trying to take, like, answer the questions like it was an important question. I'm like, no, that you, if you don't know this, then you really shouldn't be here. So that's how I kind of do it a little bit. But in most of my positions I've been in when I had the interview, I didn't really care about their personality that much, just to be honest. It was like, if you don't know the stuff, if you don't know, have the skill set to do the job, then I'm not even going to worry about those personality questions. But if you have the skill set, then I might care a little bit.
Well, what kind of jobs were these? Like developers?
Yeah,
jobs?
Yeah, these were more like less
basically jobs where people don't really have that much of a personality.
Yeah, it was less creative type stuff, more software development. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they don't have a personality. Yeah,
that, I think makes you're sense. Attacking me, and I'm feeling triggered.
Yeah. I mean, so you haven't like really interviewed like any creative.
I've interviewed a few, but yeah, most of the people just didn't know what I needed them to know, so it didn't get past that into, you know, the personality type stuff.
I think it depends on where you're working. I mean, I know where I'm at right now, they're really trying to focus on, you know, the culture of the company. So, I mean, that's why I think they put such high, you know, such high regard to, you know, how a person is, how a person flows, you know, just in their interview, just how the personality is and everything. That's something that they've, you know, kind of stressed, because, you know, it's important when you're trying to grow a company there that people know how to get along. And I can say working there, most everybody there is a kind of mellow, like, not everybody's mellow. You know, you have the people, I mean, salespeople are kind of, you know, salespeople. But, you know, everybody is a certain vibe. And I've realized that that's important for, you know, people to feel comfortable, because you don't want to just throw something odd into the mix just because this person knows how to, you know, use Photoshop, Illustrator, and Final Cut. You know, it's not, you know, it has to be more than that.
So I think I agree with that. So one of the things I try and look for when I'm interviewing people is their, I guess, problem solving ability or problem solving techniques, because you could know Google how to use the tools great, but if you run into something you don't know how to do, what are you going to do now? What's your next step? And if you know how to work through that, be it, you know, I'm going to Google, I'm going to talk to my coworkers, you know, I have these videos I watch, or whatever it is that you need to do to figure out how to navigate that situation, that's what I want to know. Because that's going to help me determine whether if I throw something new at you, you're going to be able to figure it out. Because I've interviewed people that knew everything, knew, you know, like all the technical stuff that I wanted them to know, but they were just weirdos, or like there was some other reason why I just wasn't interested in them. And then there was other people I've interviewed that didn't know all the technical stuff, but they seem smart. Like they seem like they know how to figure things out, and they know how to do research, and they know how to learn quickly. They've learned how to learn effectively. So I'd rather hire the second person, because I'll probably can pay them less, one, and two, they'll probably be able to, they'll learn more quickly. So when they're introduced to something new, they can figure it out. And it's not just like, I don't know this, I don't know what to do. Give me something I know.
Yeah. I mean, and then you deal with the people that are, you know, there's also the people that they may know all of that kind of stuff, and they know how to figure things out, but they may not know how to work as a team, because they're, you know, they can be somebody that, I mean, even though both of us, we know how to do a lot of different things, we're not the type that's going to walk in there, you know, the type that just wants to walk in and take over everything kind of type, and just, you know, push everything to the side. It's like, you know, you need somebody that can actually, you know, contribute as a team and let other people, you know, they can, you know, respect other people's agency, basically, you know, let other people speak, you know, other people get involved and empower other people. Because I think that's what's really important, especially, you know, in the creative field. You need to be able to, because, I mean, I get ideas from bad ideas and from good ideas, and you need, there was somebody I was working with, and they're not there anymore, but I'm somebody that I sometimes need somebody to bounce my ideas off of. And especially, you know, when you're working as a team, he's like, you want that. You know, he's like, okay, what do you think about this? I need to, you know, I don't want to be working in a vacuum. And if I feel like I'm irritating you by asking you a question about, you know, something creative, then it's like, you know, what are we doing? You know, that's what we're trying to do. I need that kind of, you know, because I have a drive, I want to make something great. You know, I'm not going to put in 8 hours somewhere and I'm not doing anything worthwhile. You know, I can sit at home and do nothing worthwhile if I wanted to. So
where I work now, one of the things I was told on the first day is the number one rule of the team is that we help each other. And so no matter what you're doing, if it's important, you can say, hey, give me 5 minutes, but you have to be available to answer questions no matter what. And that's I guess I didn't realize it at the time, but then, you know, of course, so the position I'm in now, I'm doing a lot of things that I don't have a ton of experience in. And so it's been a whole lot of learning, but it's been very useful to know that I could just turn around or walk down the hall or whatever and just ask a question at any point in time, and people will drop everything to help. And that goes for me too, because I'm doing UI UX stuff. And so the team I'm on didn't have any of that before. And so a lot of them are coming to me like, hey, so what do you think of this? What's the best way to do this? How should I lay this out? Whatever. And so they have a lot of questions for me. I have a lot of questions for them about, you know, Angular or whatever we're doing. And so I think it's very, very helpful to know that, you know, I don't care if you're annoyed, I'm going to come ask you questions because that's the way we have to work. And that's, again, these are all things I think I subconsciously or somehow I look for if I'm interviewing someone. I want to know that they're comfortable asking questions and will admit to being wrong. So that reminds me of something else. I was working with a guy in a job I had around this time last year. And he was in a leadership position, a team lead position. And, you know, in that role, you should know some things. So he would, talking to him, he seemed like he knew a few things, but then when I would see some of his work, it was obvious that he didn't. But because he was in that leadership position, he just, I guess he felt like he didn't need to ask, or he didn't feel comfortable asking. And then I was new to the team, so he definitely, for whatever reason, didn't ask me anything. And basically, as a result, in the end, he got fired. But a lot of it, I think, stemmed from the fact that, like, he wanted to kind of keep things to himself, like compartmentalize things. So if he didn't know something, he wouldn't ask. He would just kind of find another way of doing it. Maybe not the best way or whatever, but he'd do something and deliver it to the customer. And then the customer was like, but why do we have to have it this way? And he would oftentimes tell the customer things that weren't even true. Like, well, we had to do it this way because the software won't support doing it differently or whatever, just so that he wouldn't have to reveal the fact that he didn't know something. And then it became a problem, because then if you ask me, I'll tell you the truth. Like, I don't know how to do it, but we can figure something out.
I can go find out. Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that. It feels like compensation. Like, you're ashamed to let, you know, let people know.
No,
I mean, I understand. You're supposed to be, you know, they hired you for a reason. You're supposed to know what you're talking about, but... And I ask questions in a second. I mean, I prefer to have clarity than to be out here making mistakes, you know.
Well, that's something I've done on a couple interviews when I interview people, is I've asked them things I know they don't know, or I'm like pretty certain they don't know based on their resume or whatever. And it's interesting to see whether they just say, I don't know, or if they try and BS their way through it. Because I actually, one of the jobs I had earlier this year, my boss told me, he was like, I was really impressed by the fact that you said you didn't know. And I was like, oh, okay. Because he was like, yeah, we've had people here that will say they know when they don't. And I'm like, nah, I don't know. I'll figure it out, but I don't know now. Give me some time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely done that, and people have seem to be fine with that. It's like, oh, okay. Because, I mean, you know, it doesn't serve anybody to lie about it. You know, I mean, and then the company's investing in you, and it's expensive to hire the wrong person. And, you know, it's less expensive to just train somebody to do something than to get the wrong person in there. And then you have to, you know, find out later that they didn't know what they were doing and they did this wrong, and then they caused this problem. And then you got to go through the whole trouble. You got to find somebody that fits again with the team and knows the skill, and you got to do interviews, and it's expensive. The train, just everything that goes into it. And, you know, it's better to just be honest with it. I think, I mean, so far it's worked for me. And I mean, the last interview I did, the beautiful thing, the reason why I really liked that last interview is because it felt like a regular conversation. I didn't feel like, my manager was telling, I was talking to him about it, and he was saying, you know, you had the right candidate when it feels like a conversation, instead of you just throwing darts on the board.
Yeah.
Because, you know, okay, next question. Got it. next question, you know. But when it feels like, you know, like a natural conversation, they're asking questions, you're asking questions, you're just sitting there talking, you find out you go to the same juice place, you know, stuff like that.
I try and, if I can, because some interviewers are just stiff and annoying, but if I can, I try and ask questions. Like, so they ask me questions, I ask them questions, or I'll explain, answer something, and say, hey, well, how are you doing it here? Or, you know, whatever. And there's been a few interviews where I started answering questions for them. Like, so, you know, they're asking me about how to do this, and do you know how to do this, and whatever. And then I'll start asking them, okay, so what projects are you all working on, or whatever. And then on one interview, one of the people who was supposed to be asking me technical questions, I started giving them technical answers for things they were working on currently. You know, like, they were like, well, yeah, so we're working on a project on blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, I did one of those, and here's how you could do it. And then they were like, well, I have more questions. And it started becoming more like, how would you do this? How would you solve this problem? And less about, do you have this skill set and how many years experience and that type of stuff.
Yeah, because that doesn't tell you anything. I mean, you could be doing terrible things in Photoshop 10 years. You know? It's like, that doesn't mean anything. If you haven't grown in that time, then, you know, I just triggered myself. I guess another question would be, I mean, as a creative person, like, what kind of advice would you give somebody, like, going into an interview?
Don't be scared. I think it's important to just try and feel comfortable, try and be comfortable as much as possible, and show whatever personality you have. Because that's what's going to matter. They care about your portfolio. They probably saw it, or they should have seen it already. So you should just be able to speak intelligently about what you've done, which shouldn't be that hard, especially if you're comfortable doing the work. So just being comfortable, because I think I've interviewed people who were super nervous and scared, and I'm less likely to choose them because they just don't feel comfortable, and they're not conveying who they are well, because they're being somebody else. They're being nervous person, not themselves. So being comfortable, trying to be comfortable, is important, I think. So other than that, I think, you know, just be honest. Be 100% honest. Because, you don't have to reveal things that don't need to be revealed, but just be honest about what you know and what you don't know and your background, and I think that'll go some kind of way. Yeah. What would your advice be as a hiring person?
Be the G in TGT.
What? I don't...
Genuine. All right. No, but for real, I mean, be genuine in what you're doing. You know, be like we're saying, be confident. You know, find out what you're passionate about.
Get on that pony and ride it.
My pony. Well, make sure you have consent first, but that's most important. But you know, find out what you're passionate about. I know for me, for a long time, it was like, oh, I know how to do this, I know how to do this, I know how to do this. But it wasn't until I figured out, like, okay, what I really think I'm good at is telling stories. When you get to that core of that, like, oh, I enjoy branding, I like telling stories and stuff like that. That's more important than, that tells them more about your thought process than just saying that I know Photoshop, Illustrator, you know, Dreamweaver. You know, right. That doesn't tell me anything. That doesn't tell whoever is interviewing anything. And I mean, that's not something, I don't know, maybe some people learn that. I didn't learn that. Something I had to kind of figure out on my own, but it's like that essence of like what I do, because I felt like for a long time I was scattered all over the place until I realized that there's an essence of like, even though I do all these things, there is a core reason why I do it. It's a core motivation. And that's what you need to tell people. Like, this is why I do this. I mean, and you can take that into anything, even if it's not exactly in your field or whatever or something, or you're not sure about this job or what, you're still trying to figure out your field. If you can take in that core thing that you are, you know, drives you, the thing, you know, the reason why you do work and, you know, what makes you a good employee and, you know, what motivates you and everything, if you can take that in, then that's going to go a long way. And I mean, like we were saying, be honest, you know, don't, you know, I mean, genuine, put lots of product in your hair. And,
I think tell the truth about yourself. It's also good to spend some time thinking about, like you said, kind of knowledge yourself is kind of what it comes down to. But if you understand yourself and what you can bring to the table aside from just a skill set, like how you take your skill set and use it to improve things for the company or whatever, I think that's useful. And thinking about a good way to express that, because like you said, telling stories, that's a good way of kind of communicating exactly what you do and how you do it and how you're going to go about it and how you're going to approach it and things like that. And so I guess I've developed something like that for when I interview for a job, and it's worked pretty good most of the time, because I think from an interviewer's perspective, if you just spout off all the technical jargon and all that stuff, that's cool. That means you read a book or something. Maybe you watched a YouTube video about how to prepare for an interview. But that doesn't convince me that you know what you're doing. But when you can kind of, like, the whole storytelling thing, that lets me know, okay, you've done this before and you kind of understand exactly what goes into this. Because if I've done it before, I understand, I should know, you know. But if I'm just talking, well, so I go in Photoshop and I open the layer template, then it's like, okay, yeah, you know how to use the tool, but you don't understand, like, the more...
It's like right. Explaining how to use a hammer versus, like, oh, this is how I would like to build this house. It's like, yes, we know you're going to use a hammer to build the house.
Yeah, but more detail. How, you know, more what's it going to look bring like? It up a level. Yeah, exactly, because I've talked to people that are down into the technical level of things, and it's like, okay, that's cool, but bring it up a level. What's your overall plan? What's your overall approach style for this, for doing this type of work or whatever?
Yeah. And I would say one thing I would add in there, I mean, this may apply, what we're saying now may apply to people with a little more experience under their belt. If you're new, then you may not have that yet. And, you know, your skill set may, you know, if it's entry level, what you know, your skill set may be more prominent. Maybe. Just, you know, if you just walk in, it's like, yeah, I know Photoshop. And they may be like, okay, cool. You you just got out of college, you know Photoshop. Cool. Okay, here's $6 an hour, you know, and that, you know, that may be applicable.
Yeah, thing. But I think it's still good to have some kind of way of describing.
But if you know
how you work,
yeah.
Aside from I move the mouse and I press the keyboard.
I mean, if you're able to, you may not know that at that point, but if you start thinking about it sooner than later, and you have that, then that's going to help you out a lot and get further. You know, that kind of passion and, you know, knowledge of self. You know, I always, every time I say that, I think about, like, this, like, an image of Kyle Quelly in my head. Anyway. and too many words in a bar, you know. I forgot what I was saying. Yeah, well, if you have knowledge of yourself, people are going to see that, and they're going to, you know, probably give you, you know, they'll see you in a different light than the next 12 people that know Photoshop. Next to you, you know.
Yep.
Been self-aware. Like Skynet. You have anything else? Any other advice? Just
wear clean clothes.
Yeah, wear clean clothes. You know, make sure you're not having a...
Yeah, I think all the... You just got to take care of all the obvious stuff. But then it comes down to those less obvious things, and yeah.
Yeah, because that's going to take.
Because anybody with a heartbeat, you know, can come in and, well, for the most part, can come in and look decent, talk all the technical talk that they need to talk, as long as they've read something about it or whatever. But you've got to do a little bit more than that in order to make sure you get the position if you want it. So do those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all I had to say on that topic. I was going to say, so this week, kind of on a different topic, I was approached about doing a website and some graphic design work for someone. And it was a kind of interesting project, kind of exciting. And so I kind of got gassed. And so I started, kind of got started on the work before I received any real commitment from the customer to do anything. But I mean, I was pretty confident they were going to agree and sign the contract and everything, but I got excited and got started early. And so I was going to say, like, sometimes it's tough not to do that, especially if it's something I'm interested in working on and I have a good idea for that I think is going to come out well. Then it's like, I need to wait. I don't want to wait. I want to get started on this now. So, yeah. I don't have any good advice on how not to do that, except wait till the check clears.
Wait for that deposit. Yeah,
it's not a good idea to do that. I guess there's been probably a couple times where I've done that and things didn't come through and I wasted my time. Most of the time it's come through and it's been all right, but it's still not a good idea.
I know for me, because I mean, I get excited about things too. I think just over time, I've calmed down with that because people be taking advantage of that. Or, you know, they come up with an idea. It's like, oh, I know you know how to make websites and stuff. Okay, yeah, well, I've got this piece of an idea that's probably horrible, but let me get you excited about it and make it your baby, you know. And so that's happened to me enough that people come to me with something of like, I just give them the, you know, rule like, oh, okay, no, yeah, no, that's great, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't give them anything until you come, you show me that you're serious. I mean, not that I'm not thinking about it, because, yeah, I can't help but think about things, and I may be excited on the inside, but I'm not going to give them that satisfaction that they got me excited about a project, you know, because how many domain names do we have on our account that are of things that never went anywhere? Yeah, so it's like, yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, we bought for somebody because they were like, oh yeah, this is gonna be big, yeah, just grab, you know, just get the domain name, and, you know, I go in and buy it because they're that cheap anyway, but like, yeah, and it doesn't go anywhere, and I'm just like, why am I ending up with this? This isn't my child, this is your idea, that why am I carrying it? So yeah, I don't, you know, I'm gonna need that deposit to start. I mean, I can't help but think about things, but I would say, you know, think all you want, have your ideas. If you need to write them down, but as far as they're concerned, I ain't done nothing yet.
I think it's like a level of commitment. So if you contact me, I'm kind of committed to helping you, but I need to see that you're committed, and therefore you need to give me some money or sign a contract or something.
Yeah,
because I've had people kind of put that stuff off, or try and put it off, like, yeah, I'll get it to you next week, can you get started? It's like, yeah, waiting on you. But I've had people try and kind of play that game, like following up, checking on the status of stuff without paying anything. It's like, no, you don't need to contact me.
Like, according to my bank account, no, I can't start.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's definitely can be, yeah, I wouldn't say it's stressful, but sometimes it's like annoying. Like, come on, hurry up and pay me so I can do this. I want to do it. But you're holding up things.
Well, I mean, in that case, I say, you know, write your ideas down, have everything down, but don't tell them that you're doing anything. I mean, because maybe that you can use that for something else, but like, yeah, I mean, just, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, at least keep it to yourself. Don't buy no domain names, nothing like that yet. Not until you pay up.
All right, so I think that's all we're going to talk about this week. Because it's late and I'm sleepy. If you have not, please check out our other episodes. There are several of them.
29.
Oh, yeah. I should keep count. Definitely follow us on Twitter at Alien Muffin. We don't tweet that often, but when we do.
For a monthly tweet.
They're fire. Follow us on Instagram. We don't Instagram that often, but we're trying to do better with that. That reminds me, a year ago, like around a year ago, we did a podcast about how bad we are at social media. And I'm going to say we haven't improved very much.
No.
So, yeah.
That's consistency right there.
Yeah, we're consistent with that. So, yeah, follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Alien Muffin.
More importantly, we actually do put things up for sale at alienmuffin.com. .threadless.com.
Yeah, check out our shop. We have t-shirts and things. Cop something. by doing that, you're helping to support the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Do we have a word of the week?
Genuine. Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful week. We'll be back.